We want to welcome Glenn Phelps again today. Glenn he's been an assistant principal for some 20 years, and then he worked for 11 years as a coach and a teacher. He worked for 10 years with Chet, and then he worked for 23, or has been working for 23 years with the Gideons. And we are very pleased to have him with us today. We want to welcome our Facebook crowd and hope that you enjoy this message, and may God move in your hearts.
Good morning. Got to start off and tell y'all a story. There was this guy, and he was raised, and he was real grouchy, real self-centered. Everything was his. He got married, don't know how, but he did. And his wife would tell him over the years, "Honey, I need to go buy shoes." "You don't need any shoes. You got two pair to wear during the week, one on Sunday. How about a dress? I need to, you got one to wear it on Sunday, and you got a few more to wear during the week. Don't need any more. I need my money. I need to save it." Well, he did. That went on for 30 years. And all of a sudden, gets sick, and he goes to the doctor, and the doctor looked at him and said, "Sorry, but you got advanced cancer, and there's nothing we can do, and you're going to be dead in a month." The guy shook his head, so he went home and he started thinking. A couple of weeks later, he went to the bank, and he said, "I want all my money, cash. I want it in cash." So he got all his money, and he put it in three bags, big Kroger sacks. And when he got home, he went up in the attic, and he tied those sacks right up over his bedroom, and he told his wife, he said, "When I die, woman, on my way to heaven, I'm going to pass through the roof, and I'm going to just snatch up that money and take it with me." 2 weeks later, he was dead. They had the funeral, and so she was sad. And then all of a sudden, she thought about the money afterwards. So she pulled down the attic ladder, and she walked up, and she looked up there, and sure enough, there were those three bags of money. She said, "I knew he should have put them in the basement." The wife always knows. Wife always knows. Well, we want to talk about missions. Well, let me tell you. When I was thinking about this, I said, well, let me go to a prime source of intelligence and look at the American Collegiate Dictionary and find out what missions are. And here's what it says. Mission, a planned operation to obtain maximum success by negotiation, establish relations, elimination, and the like. So that's what a mission is. Then it says a missionary are those who volunteer, who are called or sent to accomplish predetermined objectives. So missions and missionaries have a plan. It's not just arbitrarily go. In fact, to go on missions, if you're going to a foreign country, you have to go through a time of study and preparation. You have to learn their culture. You have to learn their language. There's a lot of training in this. So you want to be successful. Now, we're going to look at the spiritual aspects. Why do we send missionaries? Anybody tell me? Who? To tell others. Anything else? Who? So that other people will know about Jesus. One of the reasons we send it is because we ain't going. We're here. We're here for a reason. I have a bad back. I have two bad knees and two bad shoulders. It's tough for me to do things. And if you were to send me off to a foreign country, it'd be tough if I needed something. Some of us are called to do that, some of us are not. But there's one thing for sure, we can all be involved in some form, fashion, or shape. God never intended us to become stagnant. He expected us to be involved. I want us to look at this. You know about the Great Commission? He read it this morning. And in Matthew 28, he says, hey, look, what do I want you to do? He mentions four things. And these four things are four active verbs. They're not passive. He says, I want you to go. And I want you to make disciples. I want you to baptize them. And I want you to teach them to obey. Go, make, baptize, and teach. Every one of those are action verbs. They're not passive. He wants you to do something. That's the Great Commission. And a lot of people that I talk to, when they say that, they said, he wasn't talking to us, he was talking to the apostle. No, he's talking to us. He's talking to us today. That's what he said he wanted us to do. In Acts 1:8, we read that this morning. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the rest of the world. Now, I want you to notice what he told those apostles. He said, you're going to be my witnesses. And a witness is somebody who has seen it or heard it or know it. You're going to go out and tell others. But he says, you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Where is our Jerusalem here? Question. Where is our Jerusalem? Who? Somebody said it. Albany. He wants us to work right here in Albany. This is a mission field. And I'm going to promise you this. I don't know of a bigger mission field that's right out our back door than right here in Albany, Georgia. How many times do you get up to come to church on Sunday and see people out in the yard? How many times do you get up and come to church on Sunday and see people with their cars still parked there and ain't a light on in the house? All it takes is for me to say, hey, let me tell you what we got going on. And after reading what's going on in this church is alive. There's things going on. Let me tell you, we got a wild game supper coming up. Look, would you like to come? Come on. I'd like to invite you to come and be my guest. Invite them. One time I was going to a church. I was speaking with a church with the Gideons in Thomasville. Small church, way out in the country. But as I was getting to it, I passed the country club. And I'd always pass that country club, and I'd see people out there teeing up to play golf. And I don't know why, but the Holy Spirit one day just told me, and that truck of mine just turned right into that golf course or country club. And I walked up there, and there were four men up there just swinging and getting loose, getting ready. And I jumped out of the truck, grabbed four Gideon Bibles, and I said, hi. I said, guys, I tell you what, it looks like a beautiful day today, and I hope you have a great round. I'd just like to give you a copy of God's Word, and I'd like to invite you to this little church called Kennedy Chapel. We're right down here, and y'all probably know where it is. Love for you to come and visit us. I said, y'all have a good day today, and turn around and left. All I did was plant a seed. Just plant a seed. God's going to call them. He's going to prick their heart, not me. I'm just planting a seed. That's all you got to do. Plant a seed. And we can start right here. Our Judea is Georgia. Our Samaria is the United States. And then you got the ends of the world. So he tells us in Acts, this is what I want you to do. John 4, 34 through 35, Jesus said, "My food is to do the will of him who sent me to finish his work. Do you say, 4 months more and then the harvest?" Open your eyes and look at the fields. They are now ripe for the harvest. He's saying, look, open your eyes. The fields are ready now. You can get out here and work. I love this one, but I love what you read this morning from Isaiah 52, verse 7. It talks about the feet of those, blessed are the feet of those who bring the good news, and I love the way he puts it in Isaiah. But listen to what he says here. How then can they call on the one they have not believed in? How can they believe if they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring the good news. You may not can go, but you can send them. You may not can be out there, but you can send them. But the one thing you can do is go to your neighbors, to the people in your neighborhood. How do you know that your witness won't bring in a harvest to this congregation that begins to multiply? But the one thing for sure, if you just plant a seed and it burst open, that's one that left darkness and came to the light. That's a missionary. Luke 10 and verse 2, he says, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, and send more workers out into the harvest field." Jesus said, look, there's a lot of folks out here that need to hear. A lot of folks. What are you doing to ensure they're hearing? What are you doing to ensure that they are hearing? I may not can go, and it may cost me money, but I can help send somebody. I can help support somebody. And this congregation is so active. I mean, look at the list of missions that y'all undertake every year. I mean, that is phenomenal. And y'all will be blessed beyond measure. One thing that I have found out for sure, you can't outgive God. But I would like to tell you, you say you never, I don't see the results. A gentleman in our camp went on two Bible distributions. One was in Kenya, one was in Ghana. And the one he just got back from was in Ghana, and he went and they passed out 575,000 of those testaments that he gave out to the kids. 575,000 in schools. And the thing is, when they went into a school, the school didn't say, well, just pass them out and then be on your way. Talk to them about Jesus. Talk to them about this. Talk to them. And these guys went in and they were able to share their testimony. They were able to share Jesus Christ with them, but they were able to plant his seed in their hand. And a lot of these kids, when they went home, what they had in their hand was their entire library in their house. And their parents will read it and they will read it. Lives will be changed and destinations altered because of what we're doing over here is affecting people over there. And when you see the pictures that he brought of these kids reaching out, just craving the word, can I have one, can I have one? Just wanting that word so bad. They're joyful to get it. But here in the United States, Daugherty County won't even let us in the school system. But we get in anyway through the Fellowship of Christian Athletes. So where Satan said he was going to block us, God just opened the back door. But the thing that we need to, that I want you to understand, when you give and when you support missions, they are going because of you. And if you don't think that's important, the last thing I want to tell you is this. Edward Kimball was a Sunday school teacher. He taught a young man named D.L. Moody. D.L. Moody became a Christian, and he became one of the strongest evangelists in America. D.L. Moody was speaking one time, and a guy named Meyer saw him, and he became energized because of what he heard. And Meyer was transformed by that word. And Meyer took on a young man named Chapman. And Chapman converted to, or became a Christian. And he became one of the strong evangelists. And he pulled a guy in called Billy Sunday, who was an ex-baseball player. And he became, Sunday became one of the strong evangelists in the country. And one day they were having a meeting in Charlotte, North Carolina. And it was so explosive and everybody was so energized. And they were said, boy, this is great. And they started talking about it a few years later. And they said, let's have another one. Can we get them back? Well, they weren't available, but a guy came in by the name of Mordecai Ham. And Mordecai Ham, through his preaching, baptized a young man named Billy Graham. Now, if you look at any one of those people, if you take Edward Kimball out, you don't have a Billy Graham. If you take out a Mordecai, you don't have Billy Graham. If you take out D.L. Moody, you don't have Billy Graham. If you take out your contribution to get something going overseas or to one of these missions, it's going to change something. What you do is extremely valuable. And your reward may never be seen here. But on the other side of glory, God will say, welcome, my child. Let me show you what you did. Because when Edward Kimball hit God's glory and he showed him a sea of Christians, he said, this is because of you. Edward Kimball says, that can't be. I never knew these people. But without him, Billy Graham wouldn't have touched him. Let's pray. Father God, I thank you. I thank you for this lighthouse. This is truly a bright, burning lighthouse in this community. You've housed your spirit here, Father, and I ask you to pour it out upon these people. I ask you, Father, they already support over 20 missions in this congregation. God, these are active people. These are your children. And they are standing up for you. I ask you, Father, to bless each penny that comes into the money so that it will be blessed by your hand and multiply. And that the seeds that will be planted will harvest a bountiful crop. God, we love you, and we thank you for letting us be a part of your vineyard. In Jesus' name, amen.